This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV.
Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's say hello once again to our friend Karen McGee for the Central Regional Report. Karen, beyond being our friend, is a content development specialist for AMI and joins us from beautiful Morrisburg, Ontario. Hello, Karen.
My second favorite thing to do during a week. First one's trivia.
First one's the news quiz. Second one is hanging out with us every second Thursday. So we always appreciate it. Hey, Karen, let's start with a really interesting opportunity that folks are going to have this summer. Mike Shorman from Whitby, Ontario, is going to be taking on a challenge called Canada's Great Lakes Crossing. So what is he hoping to do this summer?
So using a stand-up paddleboard, Mike is going to cross all the Great Lakes. Have you ever stand-up paddleboarded?
No, I would fall over immediately into the water.
I've always wanted to try it. It looks like something I'd enjoy, but I'm worried about that myself.
I'm more of a backseat of the motorboat kind of guy.
I thought you were going to say in the tube with a couple beers going at a slow pace.
That is also appropriate.
Not that I would drink in boat because that would be wrong.
No, but you can drink in tube if you're not actually driving the boat.
True. So Mike developed a rare
I don't know if that's true. That might actually be against the law anyway, so I retract that.
Okay, well, we'll go with that one. Mike developed a rare neurological disorder called Ramsey-Hunt syndrome in 2018. He used to run a successful paddleboard business, but as a result of the syndrome, he lost his sense of balance. His ability to speak, hear, and see were all drastically altered. Also, one side of his face collapsed, and he's not able to show emotion as much as he was before. He told the Toronto Sun he was able to work through a lot of the physical demands, but what he really surprised him was the emotional toll, sort of the mental toll that having something like this happen can have on a person. Since 2018, he's become a motivational speaker. He's written a bestseller called Diaries of the Unbalanced Paddleboarder, Crash and Rise, and now raises money for awareness of Jack.org, a youth mental health initiative. And it's Jack.org he's going to be raising the money and awareness for when he tackles all five of the Great Lakes in crossings from one side to the other during the summer, sort of to raise awareness and raise money. And his hero is Vicky Keith. And do you know who Vicky Keith is?
I do not.
Really? So Vicky, I guess it's my generation thing, meaning I'm much older than you. We get into this again. So Vicky Keith swam across Lake Ontario. She was she's the only person to do it. And that's sort of Mike's hero. And he's talked to her in that. And she's given him lots of advice. But yeah, it's a big deal when Vicky Keith did it. And I remember, this is sidetracking, I remember there was a movie of the week done about it, I think for CBC. And it showed like her pulling the eels off her legs. And it made me afraid to swim in the river for like a couple of years. But yeah, no, it was a very big deal.
Now that you mention the feat attached to the name, yes, I'm aware of the story, but the name does not like ring. The name itself singularly doesn't ring a bell.
Marilyn Bell did it as well. So, but I'm not sure what Bell doing something similar. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a sidetrack right there. Karen, you mentioned this is a big opportunity for Mike, but it's not the first time he's tried something with paddleboarding before, is it?
So Mike attempted to cross Lake Ontario last year, but there were 3-meter swells, which is, 9 feet, for those of us who have to translate it to Imperial. He wasn't able to finish it. I mean, that's too big to tackle on a paddleboard. He's going to save Lake Ontario for last of the 5 crossings. He's going to start with Lake Erie on Saturday, which is also his birthday. He's going to go for Sturgeon Point, New York to Chrysler Beach, Ontario. He expects Lake Huron in Michigan to be the most challenging because of their length. There's going to be some overnight paddling, maybe 2 nights, and he's going to have to keep paddling in the dark. Ugh. You can actually follow, yeah, crazy, eh? You can subscribe to his YouTube channel called Great Lakes Crossing 2022 and actually follow his journey.
Karen, I've long said since this year started that my goal over the course of the next 2 years is to dip my toes in all of the Great Lakes. I'm currently at 0. You'd think considering I live next to Lake Ontario that one would be easy to accomplish, but I'm still 0 there. I want to go to Lake Huron later this summer to dip my toes around the Goderich area, but Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, which one am I missing? Erie? I want to touch them all. I want to touch them all, Karen. But
you're going to have to go to the States for at least one of them.
I don't know if I'm ready for America just yet.
just won't just tell you. You can't go to the States. You can get entry donuts.
I can buy shoes that actually fit, so that would work too. But, you know, America is, you know, not my thing right now. It's not really my jam right now. Karen, let's jump over to something a little bit different, a little closer to this neck of the woods, where U of T is introducing an American Sign Language and Deaf Culture course. Why did the school think it was important to add this course to the curriculum?
So if you actually take a look at what's been happening in one of my favorite topics, pop culture recently, ASL is everywhere. The movie Coda was this year's best winner for the Oscars. You and I went to Broadway a few years ago and saw Deaf West Theater's revival of Spring Awakening. Mm-hmm. Any chance to talk about Broadway, slip it in there. There's also a reality show called Deaf U on Netflix that does have audio description. It's set at Godot University. I've watched a little bit of it. It's actually pretty good. It's everywhere. ASL is everywhere. The Walking Dead has characters that use ASL to talk, and the main characters are now starting to use ASL to talk to these other characters. It's popping up everywhere in pop culture. The Modern Language Association reported that in 2016, it was the third most studied language in the U.S. universities behind English and French.
Wow.
So it's really become part of sort of, I don't want to say mainstream, but it's really rising in popularity. So David Weisblatt has a class at U of T. Students there not only learn to sign, but they also learn to understand sort of the values, norms, and etiquette associated with deaf culture. David is deaf, and he began tutoring ASL when he was 14, and he really noticed this emergence of deaf culture. And what he has told Toronto.uofT.ca is that when he was young, if he saw deaf characters, they were struggling sort of that trope of disabled people. They weren't respected members of a cultural minority. They were sort of like, feel sorry for us. He says that attitude has really shifted now that people are more informed, and he believes the shift is drawing more people to learn the language and how it can affect their daily lives, business, recreational. It's really making sort of an emergence.
What does Professor Weisblatt think is critical or important when learning ASL?
So he was pretty clear in the article that it requires commitment. He expects a lot from his teachers. It's not just vocabulary, but it's also a totally different grammar and syntax. You're not just basically translating English or French. There's grammar. It's more in common actually with French than English. It takes a lot of practice to become fluent, but it sounds like a very interesting course, something I would enjoy because as you listen to me talk, you might guess I like languages and talking.
Yeah, we definitely have picked up on that thread. Karen, when we spoke to you on Tuesday, you'd mentioned that the storm that passed through Eastern Ontario largely skipped over Morrisburg, so lucky for you. Because of the nature of the news cycle and because of what happened in the U.S. on Tuesday, a lot of the storm coverage has been pushed away, but I know on the ground in Eastern Ontario, a lot of people still struggling. Can you give me a quick sense of what maybe some of the local news reports are saying about the situation in Ottawa, Eastern Ontario, West Quebec right now?
So they've stopped updating the Ottawa Hydro website because I was following it to see how much. Last track, there were only about 70,000 people without power still, which is still
That's a lot of people.
Our friend Ian Mendez has been without power since the start of it. He lives in Kanata. It's getting back. There's a lot of, I've stayed out of Ottawa. I was supposed to go to Ottawa this week. I didn't go because there's still pockets where the streetlights are out.
Mm-hmm.
Maryville Road is going to take a long time. Maryville Road is a north-south thing. The poles were toppled like toothpicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. And it's going to take time. Farmers have had to rehome their cows, find places to put cows. That's sort of been a big story is with the rural because you have to milk dairy cows.
That's right.
And having lived through the ice storm, the sound of a cow crying when it hasn't been milked is very sad. It's going to take a long time. They're hoping by the end of this week, most people will have power back, but it's going to take a while.
Yeah, no doubt. Karen, thank you for that update. We appreciate catching up. Have a great day.
You too, my friend.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.